Love Talk Radio.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. There are just 27 days until the economy goes over the so-called fiscal cliff, and that would mean automatic tax increases for all Americans and deep spending cuts for the government. Well, ABC's Ann Compton says the president is getting an earful today from a group which could feel those effects right away.
The nervous governors told the president they're willing to share in the fiscal sacrifice of budget cuts, but they warn against hurting consumers with higher taxes. Delaware's Jack Markell.
None of us want to see taxes on middle-class folks go up. And we think we've had a significantly negative impact on our economy.
The bipartisan delegation is not siding with either the White House.
What am I supposed to do? Well, the government seems to be cheating, selling us to the enemy. And those who're supposed to be preaching are no
SOM, 600 AM on your radio dial. It's Jeff in the air chair here on Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. How you doing out there? It is now 8 minutes, 9 minutes after the hour of 12 o'clock, and we hope that your lunch is going down well. And we hope that you are ready to take part in some interesting discussion today. We may have a guest call in, a fellow talk show host call in a little bit later today, and we'll see what happens with that as we're talking about a lot of things that are going on. I wanted to address this thing about guns because with the young man from Kansas City killing his girlfriend and then killing himself, it was really crazy that I've been hearing all of this discussion about this, the gun, you know, lobby and the gun culture that we live in, and we got to get rid of these guns, this, that, and the other. And I'm saying it has nothing to do with guns. It has to do with crazy people and the way we live. If we didn't live a certain kind of way, we wouldn't have so many kids with anger problems and growing up into young men and young women with anger problems that will use guns, knives, hammers, poison, anything else to get rid of people. What does a gun have to do with that happened this past weekend? Tragically so. So terribly, you know, I'm very, very much, you know, upset about what happened, you know, because two people's lives are gone. And it doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. But you have to look at why. Now, here it is. This young man, at the pinnacle of his career, making money, being famous, having the opportunity to travel everywhere and to meet all types of people, and guess what? He does something crazy, gets angry, and then shoots his girlfriend and then shoots himself. A few years ago, it was reported that he punched out and broke a plate glass window with his fist when he was angry about another girl some years ago. That should have let the present girl know that there was something wrong. I'm sorry. That should let you know, okay? But it has nothing to do with the gun itself. And I heard a lot of people talking about guns earlier. And they were talking about the fact that with the gun being so plentiful here in America and the Second Amendment, of course, supporting gun ownership, that, of course, we should not own these guns. Can I tell you this? Two things were brought up, and you guys can call in and let me know at 330-781-9600 or our unlimited internet lines at 1-347-945-5229. In the forming of this country, we were given the ability to have guns, Second Amendment. We were doing everything that we were supposed to do. We were dealing with being in a land that had animals and Indians, whether that's coming home to roost now with the fact that we're now getting inundated from the south by people coming up from Mexico, South America, et cetera, et cetera. So we're dealing in this country. Almost everybody had a weapon. I heard somebody say that in the beginning, people didn't have weapons. You'd have to be 10 times of a fool to think that. They had to have weapons. They couldn't explore and get through the country without weapons. They would not be able to ward off an attack from a non-friendly Indian tribe if they didn't have weapons. They couldn't hunt for their food if they didn't have weapons. So that argument is just craziness, if you ask me. Plain craziness. So I don't know what you think, but anyway, so now we have this culture. We have the Second Amendment to the Constitution that allows us to bear arms. One of the main reasons was to protect yourself against your own government. What? What? That's what I said. To protect yourself against your own government. Because the founders knew that the government could get crazy like it's getting now. And we're going to talk about that, why would we need to have guns now? Well, I can give you a whole lot of reasons. Because when you start implementing programs and pitting classes against one another, you're going to have to one day defend your class. And I hate to say that, but yeah, that's what you're going to have to do. That's what you're going to have to do. And if you do that, what is your government going to do? Why do we have to defend ourselves against our own government? Well, when your government decides that it's allowed to enforce laws and that inhibit your freedom. We were created to be a free society here. We were not created to be a socialistic or communistic society. Once again, America is the land of opportunity, not the land of equal outcomes. I'm free to succeed and I'm free to fail. And in such a benevolent country as the United States is, that does 60% of the world's giving, 70%. I believe it's up to like 72%. But still, of all the people that give in the world, the United States gives 72% of all that is given. The citizens of this U.S. of A. But we're wrong, and we better tax the rich some more because they don't share enough. We have fallen for some of the most crazy, juvenile ideas that I've ever heard come out of political structure. Even the arguments of the 1800s and 1900s were not as juvenilistic as I see happening here. Not right now. And it's because we've dumbed our people down to where we don't have any standards that we live by. We don't have any code of ethics that we conduct ourselves by. And if you disagree, I want you to call me. You don't have those things in place anymore. We used to be a country of laws, a country of societal standards. You respected the pastor as he walked down the street, the judges, the policemen. Now you're lucky if somebody doesn't pull out a gun and shoot all of those people. Because they're angry. You're looking at huge swings in governmental control. And one day, you may have to defend yourself against it. Not saying that day is now. No, I'm not. But I'm saying the way that it's going, and once you get this Supreme Court stacked with liberal-minded people on it, I think that you're going to be looking at some decisions being made that don't make any sense. Now, I'm not advocating this. I'm saying that that day could come. And if it does come, they should not be able to take your right away from you to own weapons. I know that when President Obama made some announcements, that the military released guns. Why did they release guns when he made certain announcements? Because it indicated that he was wanting to do governmental overreach. Now, it could have been strictly coincidence. Could have been strictly coincidence that after he announced that he wanted a civilian police force as strong as the Army, that the military released 100,000 weapons. AR-15s. So, why did that happen? It happened twice in the past 3 years. But once again, the public owning guns, is it a matter of the citizens being wrong? Or is it a matter of the citizens, some of them being crazy? Should we be allowed to own guns and even own bear arms and bear arms like street sweepers or semi-automatic military guns? That's my thought. I think we should. I think that conditions in this country can deteriorate real quick when you have people pitting the classes against each other, that you might have to, you know, defend your class, defend your hood, per se. You let the drug trade go as it is. You let poverty run rampant in your societies like we have. We have poverty running rampant. And everybody's rousing those people up and herding those poverty people to the polls to vote for people to give them more, but they never give you enough to get away from who supplies you. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. This is Jeff in the air chair. We'll be right back after these messages.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
The Curiosity Shop, located in Canfield, Ohio, on Route 224, is an upscale consignment shop with downtown charm and fashion-forward taste. A women's clothing and accessory store that offers carefully selected items with friendly service in a boutique-like atmosphere. The Curiosity Shop is never overcrowded and always a great shopping experience. Anne Klein, Escada, Liz Claiborne, Ann Taylor, Dana Buckman, and more. From petite to full figure, the Curiosity Shop is the place for you. Open Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 6, Saturday 10 to 4. Located on Route 224 in the Hilltop Village Plaza next to McDonald's in Canfield. It's fashion on a budget. It's the Curiosity Shop.
Pastor Tyrone talking at you. Hey, at the end of the year, we all made some sort of New Year's resolution. Hey, how's that going? I'd like to encourage you towards one addendum to your resolutions. Be resolved to love all the more. And if you're able, join us in love, prayer, and giving at HeartReach. You can reach us anytime. Check us out on the web. You can reach us at www.heartreach.com or hit us on Facebook. Or if you're so inclined, call us at 330-744-2000. We're an inner-city organization of believers, present to make a difference for the glory of God. We are transforming our community one child at a time. And that's what we do at HeartReach. And we hope the listening audience across the nation will do the same. Be resolved to love all the more and hit us at HeartReach. We love you. Woo!
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
What about free shoes for life? If you had a chance to win free shoes for life, would you want it? And if you had a chance to win a $500 gift card each and every month, would you want it? Well, here it is. This year, every time you visit Ryer's Shoe Store, you can register for your chance to win free shoes for life. And every month, we're giving away a $500 gift card, too. So zip on over to Ryer's and register for your chance to win. And know this. If your feet are hard to fit, Ryers is your shoe store. We have sizes and a great sales staff who know how to fit you right. Ryers offers superior service, a fabulous collection, and competitive prices. Just by driving a couple more miles, by shopping Ryers, your feet leave with smiles. And a chance to win free shoes for life. No purchase necessary, no tax on shoes. In beautiful downtown Sharon.
Vukasinovich & Associates is a private mental health and substance abuse treatment group. We address a wide range of addictions and mental health issues for adolescents and adults. We're currently accepting new clients at our Boardman office. If you need help, call us at 1-888-440-0982 to schedule an appointment. We accept public and private insurances. Vukasinovich & Associates is a subsidiary of Consortium Clinical Services. Call 1-888-440-0982 for an appointment. That's 1-888-440-0982.
Are you satisfied with your current level of reproductive health care? Have you been considering making a change? Dr. Hill and Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley are accepting new patients. Call 330-746-7000. 7007. For comprehensive female care that includes fertility treatment, contraception management, and prenatal care through delivery, Dr. Hill and the Associates in Women's Health of Mahoning Valley provide individualized, personalized care in a soothing, first-class environment. Call 330-746-7007. Most insurances accepted.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229, or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM, online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Good afternoon. We're back at 12:30 on your dial here at WSOM 600 AM, and it is now time to talk about what's on your mind and give you a little bit what's on our minds here at Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. It is a wonderful day out there. There's no sun out here. It looks like it's getting ready to rain. Going to get cold tomorrow, but you know what? It's still a good day to be alive, and it's an exciting time. And we're running up on the Mayan calendar thing coming up on the 12/21 this month. And we're going to see. I don't think that the Mayans predicted a end-of-the-world scenario. I think they predicted a end-of-the-age scenario. And that scenario would be that life as we've known it before is changing in this millennium. It changed, 1,000 years ago. It changed 2,000 years ago. And it's time for another change. Different sets of people will become world rulers. Different sets of people will be calling the shots. And when you get that, you get all their good and you get all of their bad. How we deal with that is going to be the issue. We're going to see a whole lot of stuff changing in America, in the world. We're looking at the Middle East falling. Syria is bombing its people left and right. Now, they're able to bomb their people, but they were given a word that if they use sarin gas on them, then that's going to cross a red line. Sarin gas kills just like bombs kill. I mean, they're still just as dead. What's up, I don't understand. What's the difference? Somebody tell me. 333-330-781-9600. 1-347-945-5229. But we were talking about guns and whether we should allow the free trade of guns in America like we have because of the Second Amendment. Is that the problem with the killings that we've seen here? Or is it because we have crazy people because of how we're living? Is it our societal standards that are making people think it's okay to do the things that they do? As I said, we had societal standards that we don't have anymore. We used to have a very civil society. Didn't say there were no murders or no rapes or anything like that. Absolutely there were, because you got evil people still. And you had them then, and you're going to have them in the future. So, what is it? What made this young man from the Kansas City Chiefs go crazy, kill his girlfriend because after they had an argument about leaving their child that they had without being married? They're arguing. He goes to another with another girl. Stays over that girl's house all night long, but when he comes home the next day and finds out that his girlfriend, his baby's mama, left the baby with the mother and went out that night herself, he goes crazy. Tell me what that has to do with gun ownership. A year or two later, before he punched a window out, plate glass window out, angry over another girl. Now, is it the gun people that are law-abiding citizens that are the problem? Or is it the crazies? See, because I'm going to tell you, once somebody punched out a plate glass window and it was a matter of public record, he'd have to get a psychological evaluation before he could own a gun. Now, I'm with that one now. Let's make some laws. Let's make some different laws up about owning guns. But I don't think it's the gun fault. The gun didn't pull its own trigger and kill that girl. That man did, out of his anger and frustration about whatever he was angry and frustrated about. I don't think it had anything to do with anything. And I still think we ought to be able to own guns. I'm not for them cutting our ability to own a gun in this country. I am not. And I don't like it one bit when they threaten to take our guns because crazy people got a hold of a gun here and there. Now, we got a lot of stuff, like I said, a lot of things going on now. A lot of stuff going on. So I want to see what we're going to do with this one. The United Nations has entered into a treaty agreement with several other nations where they want to control our guns through a small arms situation out there. Now, they want to control our guns through treaty, which they can do if the Senate approves. And we got enough far-left lake loons in the Senate, I do believe, that will pass a crazy law that says that we have to abide by that. I think that's one of those times when you don't abide by it. I'm certainly not going to abide by it. Why? Because it's not right. It's our Constitution, not theirs. It's our country, not theirs. Why do they want us not to have arms in our country? What business is it of the United Nations? Do they plan to invade us? Where that would be the case, they'd have to worry about it. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? 334, you are on the air.
Hey, Jeff, what's going on?
What's up, Alabama?
Not much. I was wondering what these guys, what a lot of these gun, anti-gun proponents would think if they were in a house situation and they couldn't protect their family. If someone intruded into their property with a gun, let's just say, because everybody's not going to follow. If you're going to break in my house, you're probably not going to follow the law. Would you rather have a gun or a baseball bat? I mean, it really doesn't make sense. If you really go back and trace the history of the anti-gun movement, it started when they freed the slaves. So it's kind of, it's really a hidden agenda because, you know, like with Hitler, they said he got rid of the guns and he was able to inflict
take
all this stuff.
The...
If the Jews were armed, would they have went like that?
No.
You see what I'm saying? There was a movie with the guy that plays James Bond where he played a, I think they were villains. I'm not villains, but vigilantes, guerrilla fighters against the German people. So I don't care what they pay us. They don't have to come in my house and take it.
Well, that see, that's my point. Is what I'm saying is, do you know how to the concealed carry law and all of that was actually started? It was so when? The slaves could protect themselves against the Ku Klux Klan during the Jim Crow era. That's what you know. That's what gets me when I hear African American people say we got too many guns, and you know we don't need all that. And, you know,
I mean, but we should be the least trusting individuals of the government after we've been beat. If what they're saying, if what most African Americans believe is true, why would you trust them and unarm yourself if you really feel like you have a government that hates the black man? Then you have to, you know, it's just stupid.
It's called psychological conditioning, and that's what has happened to African American people in America. They've been psychologically conditioned to believe that government programs and government control over your life is a good thing. Why? Because it was introduced to them by them getting things. Now, I'm not saying all black people have this mindset, because they don't. I certainly don't. But the point is this. How in the world are you going to be telling me that the criminals aren't going to have guns? Miami.
I mean, I'm just trying to see if everything people say is the rich are evil and the government, they are wealthy and the evil. It's like you have to follow your logic through with saying, okay, if you get rid of your guns and they can infiltrate the government, can't they take that same government and do things and inflict harm on those same individuals that they see as a liability to society? So I think you have to, you know, if you're the poor, you're the hungry, weak, downtrodden, then you have to be ready to defend yourself. I think it's coming when, if they pass that law, it's going to give police an excuse. See, that's all it's going to take. Because once you give all of these people the authority to do something, now they're going to say you can't have a gun, period. In any circumstance.
No doubt.
And they can do house sweeps. They do house sweeps now and give people driving tickets in Alabama. They'll come through and knock on your door if you're parked on the grass. I mean, they've gotten that bold. So I can imagine them coming in people's houses, doing searches. And I don't see why not.
Well, of course, there's no reason why it wouldn't happen because, you know, here it is, it's the government control. I just read a little blurb off of the Drudge Report that some policemen are asking that that they can get control of everybody's text that they send, and that they think that's a good idea.
Yeah, I heard about that. Because they're trying to say you can't text, so they want to say, well, if they see you fidgeting with your phone, they can go and trace your text and make sure, okay, you were driving at this time, you sent a text. They'll just send you a ticket. They don't even have to be there no more.
Well, not only that, but they can also surveil you. And if you say anything a certain way, guess what? That's going to be open to political manipulation. That's going to be open to all types of different situations that have come up. Anything. Your privacy is invaded. Beg pardon?
I wanted to ask you something because I was told about 20 minutes a while ago that we are constitutionally supposed to be able to travel in whatever the commonly accepted mode of transportation is at our time, which is a car. We're supposed to have that right without having to have papers to show the government. We don't need any documentation. That's when you get the driver's license, they always say operating a vehicle because operating refers to interstate commerce. And those are all that's how they get us on tickets. But they can't stop you from traveling, which makes a whole lot of sense. Mm-hmm. You can't tell a man, look, you can't go from here to wherever you want to go. And that's what they do. If you don't pay them their taxes, you don't pay them their money, then and that's a power that we don't even whine and fuss about.
Mm-mm. No, we don't care. And that's the big problem. We're not caring about that. And we're not looking at how it's going to affect our life. You know, you can't get a job because you might have said something about your old employer and they don't want you with the new one. You know, and you may have texted something questionable to your girlfriend or boyfriend, and they might think that you, you know, something wrong with you. They don't want you around. So on the thing of your text, you're done. You know what I mean? You're done.
Exactly.
That doesn't make sense. Not at all. And then you, of course, you can't own a gun if you ever got mad at anybody. So I honestly
I think there's a lot of freedom that people have just
they have.
Fallen into.
Hey,
like,
we're going to go to a quick break, Alabama.
Sure.
We're going to a quick break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News. A woman was killed and a 5-year-old boy was critically injured in a shooting yesterday afternoon just north of the Kent State University campus. The boy was shot in the head. A 12-year-old girl reportedly found the crime scene when she got off a school bus on State Route 45. There were no suspects. Youngstown Mayor Chuck Zamarone has issued written reprimands to 4 health district workers because there was no record of health inspections for 11 on-campus dining locations at Youngstown State University. The city gave the workers 45 days to fix the problem. And a 37-year-old Boardman man pleaded guilty yesterday to attempted murder in connection with an attack on his ex-wife and 2-year-old son. John Sylvester was accused of stabbing the woman and cutting the toddler with a knife. Prosecutors say they will recommend a 16-year prison sentence. Sylvester was convicted back in 1999 of trying to shoot and kill a girlfriend. You're up to date. I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News.
Trying to sell your old car? Instead, donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind. Pickup is free and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-895-8035. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats, whether they run or not. Donate your vehicle and you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call 1-800-895-8035. That's 1-800-895-8035.
We've got the perfect gift for the person you love that loves to play golf. The Newstalk 600 Golf Card. This gift card comes in many choices and lets the golfer play at some of the area's best golf courses, like Old Stonewall, Avalon Lakes, Squaw Creek Country Club, Avalon at Buell, Tam O'Shanter, Greens of Greenville, Kensington, Rolling Hills, Riverview, Salem Hills, and more. Each card includes 18 holes with cart at a minimum of 4 of these and other great area golf courses and provides a 60 to 70% discount on greens fees. It's the best stocking stuffer the golfer on your list will ever receive. But it's only available starting Friday, December 14th at 9 a.m. And these will sell fast. Just visit our website, 600WSOM.com, and click on the golf cart icon for more information from our area's best golf courses. And News Talk 600WSOM.
Well, hello there, good people. This is your happy polka pal, Larry Walk.
And your happy polka gal, Diana Walk.
Inviting you to tune in our Happy Polka Land show, now heard here at AM 600 WSOM every Sunday afternoon, 1 to 4 p.m.
It's the musical antidepressant, featuring a custom blend of the latest in polka releases, as well as the polka picks from the past.
That's Larry Walk's Happy Polka Land, now heard here at AM 600 WSOM. Tune in for instant happiness.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Introducing Mr. Perfume and More, the area's most recent discount outlet for perfumes and colognes and the most beautiful handbags and accessories. Mr. Perfume is located in the Mill Creek Plaza at 7101 Lockwood Boulevard, right next to the Blue Wolf Banquet Center. Come in and let Mr. Perfume find the fragrance that will fit you or your significant other to a T. Mr. Perfume is the area's foremost authority on perfumes and colognes. And once you have experienced experience Mr. Perfume, you'll be a customer for life. Take advantage of the weekly specials at Mr. Perfume and more on selected fragrances and fashion handbags and accessories. Mention you heard this on Tracy and Friends and receive an extra 10% off of your purchase. Not only that, if your birthday is on a Friday in November, be the first customer through the door on your birthday and you'll receive a free perfume or cologne valued at $45 or more. Open from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday, closed on Sunday. Call 330-629-2816.
Afternoon with Tracy and Friends here, Jeff in the Air Chair on WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial, WSOM 600 AM on your iHeart radio dial, and on Blog Talk Radio at Tracy and Friends, and at TracyandFriends.com. You can catch us some everywhere, and we've been seeing some of the numbers. We do appreciate the listeners that we get. That you never call, but you know we know you're listening, so thank you. And we're talking about a couple of things. One of them was the ability to own arms here in America. We may lose it to where we're only going to be able to have something like a handgun. You know, I guess the most is a 9mm with a 9 or 12 bullet clip. That would allow you to, you know, more or less personally defend yourself. But you know what? Excuse me. People don't take into account one thing. Criminals are going to get whatever kind of gun they want. Do you understand that? Criminals are not going to wait. Criminals are not going to not buy on the black market. They're going to buy on the black market. Why? Because they're criminals. Criminals do criminal activity. I'd like to be politically correct and take a poll over the next week to 2 weeks and see how many acts of crime are committed by those who voted in the last election. Now, I know I'm going to get in trouble for this, and this is Jeff's opinion, not that of Tracy and Friends. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends, nor of the station on which you hear this broadcast. Okay? May or may not be is what I'm saying. But I'm saying, if we took a poll, do you think possibly, just possibly, that the people that voted for more government control are the people that are committing, or more, a lot of those people are people that are caught up in crime? I'm just saying, I want to know. Now, that I know that's politically incorrect. I know it is. I know it. Bad Jeff, let me smack the back of my hand. But you know what? Here, talk to me. Do you think it's so? Or do you think it's the opposite way around? Now, in this last election, the conservatives were made out to be demons. They don't want to feed the poor, although we gave $1 trillion to the poor last year. Not counting the charities they gave to the poor, too. Because we just had a little particular show on saying how the poor fare in America, what the poor own, what they don't own in their houses, what they have access to, what they don't have access to. So, that's something to think about. That's really something to think about. Do the poor in America, are they the ones that are guilty of the violent crimes? Are the voters that vote for government programs, and I'm not saying one party or another, I'm just saying the voters that voted for the government program institution and expansion, are they the ones that commit most of the crimes? I want somebody to tell me. Stanley, you hear me? My liberal friend out of New York. I want to know. Somebody tell me. 330-781-9600. 1-347-945-5229. Okay? So now, we're speaking to that. Let's do a quick thing here. And we're going to bring in the Trayvon Martin case once again, because they released a picture of Mr. Zimmerman, and Mr. Zimmerman has a broken nose, and you know, in this picture, and a busted lip, or at least a broken nose, where you can see he's bleeding from his nose, et cetera, after the confrontation with Mr. Trayvon Martin. Mr. Zimmerman, after he got punched in the face after confronting or following, see, this is the thing. He followed Trayvon Martin. Trayvon Martin doesn't see a police car with a light on top of it. Trayvon Martin does not see a police uniform or even a security uniform or a security police car on an unfamiliar neighborhood that he does not know who's following him. What is he supposed to do? He's lost, trying to find his way back to his father's house, but there's no telling who this man is. So now he confronts the man when he can, and he finds out that this man is not a policeman or anything like that, and they go to tussling. Well, ends up that while he's tussling him because he's been following him, which is a threat. Now, you want to know something about this? If I'm in a neighborhood, an unfamiliar neighborhood, and somebody's following me and I don't know how to get out of that neighborhood, I'm going to confront too, because it's a matter of life and death, because I don't know who you are or why you are there. So either way it goes, Mr. Zimmerman, in my book, in my opinion, and you can call me on this one too, we can talk about the Zimmerman Trayvon Martin thing, I think he was at fault. Because had he stayed his behind in the car and called the police to come out and waited till they got there and watched, there would be nobody dead today. Not in that case anyway. So now, that's not how it turned out. But 267, what you got to say?
Yeah, well, as far as the urban crime, a lot of it is fueled by just the people who have a lack of income, and just crimes of opportunity. And what has happened recently in a lot of the big cities is that you see an increase in robberies and people being mugged, because a lot of people don't have meaningful employment.
Right.
So this is where the urban crime, this is where its genesis is. And as far as the George Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin case, that case was blown out of proportion because it was white on black. Now, I think that eventually the case will come down to he'll probably get a manslaughter conviction.
Green.
He might do 3 or 4 years in prison, and then he'll be released. But the case wouldn't have gotten any news coverage if it had been a black, older black man on who had shot a young black teenager. And these types of things happen all the time.
Every
and
day.
And I talked about, yeah.
So, well, I agree with you on that, Doc. Really, I do, because, like I said, in this particular situation, it got blown out of proportion. But I was telling people, do not expect a murder one charge against him. Because if there's too much evidence to say that it was a mutual confrontation for one reason or another.
Right.
You know, if I was Trayvon Martin, I would have tried to leave out of the neighborhood, but I don't think he knew where to go. And I think that that's what made him have to finally confront Mr. Zimmerman.
Well, also, we as black people have to be mindful of, when it comes to rural America, we are not seen in those communities as much, as often as we are in the city. So whenever you have, whenever you go into a gated community or you go to in a smaller town where it's mostly all white, you as a black person should not be walking around that place at night, because people are not used to seeing you, and a lot of people do have firearms.
Well, there's no doubt about that. The news may interrupt us in a second, so if it does, we'll just be back on the other side of it. But there we go. Be right back.
Listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. The clock is ticking down to the fiscal cliff of automatic tax increases and deep government spending cuts. It all depends on a deal between the president and Congress, and at this point, talks are at a standstill. A group of governors is in Washington, though, today with a message. Come together.
We're not elected to fix all the problems in Washington. The president and the members of Congress are here to do that. We're here to offer a resource in a way that can help not just our state governments, but the people we represent in each of our states.
Wisconsin Republican Scott Walker among the bipartisan group of governors. FEMA Director Craig Fugate testifying to a House panel today, more than a month after Superstorm Sandy. He says other government agencies like HUD and the Army Corps of Engineers must also be involved in the process.
FEMA programs by themselves will not successfully recover from storms of the size of Sandy.
Committee on Transportation wants to know about the recovery after Sandy as well as preparedness. Former President George W. Bush speaking about the importance of immigrants as the debate over immigration reform continues.
As our nation debates the proper course of action relating to immigration, I hope we do so with a benevolent spirit and keep in mind the contribution of immigrants.
Mr. Bush gave the opening remarks at a conference hosted by the Institute, which bears his name. Police in Aurora, Colorado, are looking for two Good Samaritans who saved the life of a mother and her two-year-old daughter. They were hit by a car while crossing a busy street and pinned under a vehicle. The two men seemed to come out of nowhere. They helped the two officers who were on the scene lift the car off the pair, and then they left.
These guys are so selfless that once the scene was secure, that they left the scene and did not leave their names. I talked to two of the officers that were involved. They can't even tell me how many people helped them because it was so chaotic.
And Commander Lieutenant Chuck DeShazer of the Aurora Police Department. The Dow is down 12 points, NASDAQ off 17. This is ABC News.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage, $75 per month level rate for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110 per month, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rate guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates available for you as well. At Termbusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a quote at 1-800-569-5440. That's 1-800-569-5440. You're probably paying more than you should. Call Termbusters, 1-800-569-5440, or visit our website at termbusters.net. Remember, 1-800-569-5440. Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting. Exam required to qualify.
Many people think about new plans at the end of the year, and that could include starting a new job or even launching a new career.
If you're looking for a job, one of the first things to do is learn how to talk about yourself fast. Jane Trinka, MBA careers expert at Rollins College in Florida, says think of it as your 30-second commercial.
People need to feel comfortable and confident about talking about themselves, their skills, their talents, and what they bring to the table for an employer.
And why keep it brief?
If you talk more than 30 or 40 seconds, you might get that glazed look over the other person's eyes, so you want to make sure that you keep them engaged.
Social networking sites can help you.
There's so much out there. There's LinkedIn, there's Facebook, even a business aspect of Facebook.
Richard Davies, ABC News.
Prince William visited his pregnant wife, Kate, at a London hospital today. Buckingham Palace announced yesterday that the couple is expecting their first child and that Kate is suffering from a severe form of morning sickness, which can lead to dehydration or worse if left untreated. She's expected to remain in the hospital for several days. Daria Olvinger, ABC News.
Get ready for a...
Interstate batteries are preferred 5-to-1 by auto technicians. That's 5-to-1. So choose the car battery that experts choose most. Find your local dealer at interstatebatteries.com.
An important message from Medicare. It's Medicare open enrollment, now through December 7th. Time to compare plans. Happy with your current one? You can always keep it, but it never hurts to look. And check out the preventive benefits you get after the healthcare law, with no co-pays or deductibles, like a yearly wellness visit. Savings, too, like over 50% off brand name prescriptions in the donut hole. Medicare open enrollment. Now's the time. Visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care.
Join Turning Point Counseling Services on December 13th for a special discussion with Dr. Brandy Kelly, Clinical Director at Turning Point Counseling Services, exploring the possibility of reinventing yourself. Dr. Kelly will discuss letting the past be the past and motivating for change. That's December 13th at Turning Point Counseling Services. Find out more. Call 330-744-2991. That's 330-744-2991.
If it comes up, it goes out. Live weekdays from noon to 3. Listen to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that covers the valley issues that matter to you, plus global topics and news of the day. Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
And the really big shoe is about to start once again. Good afternoon. My local lines are 330-781-9600. And we're talking about, first of all, we're talking about the gun situation that they're getting ready to try to come take your guns. We talked a little bit about Trayvon Martin and some things that were happening with that because they released a photo of Zimmerman's broken nose. But, ladies and gentlemen, I want you all to put yourself in the position of this. You're walking in an unfamiliar neighborhood, and all of a sudden, you come upon or look behind you, and there's a guy with a jacket on getting out of a pickup truck following you around the neighborhood. What do you do? What are you thinking? You don't know how to get out the neighborhood because it's new to you, and you thought you made the right turn to go home, and you didn't. You got Skittles in your pocket along with a thing of iced tea, and you just want to get out of there. And this guy's following you. What do you do? Do you run and knock on somebody's door and ask them to let you in? And if you're in that kind of community, how many people think that that's the first thing that a young black man would do, is knock on somebody's door and ask to come in? And how many people would allow you to do it? Something to think about when you think about this case, because I know there was a lot of opinions on this case a long time ago. And I've been consistent on that particular situation for the longest, because I'm saying the man was backed in a corner, and any caged or backed in animal person will fight. And that's what he did, and the man pulled a gun and killed him. Well, the man that pulled the gun and killed him should have never been following him, and he should have identified himself or told him, hey, do you need some help? He could have driven up alongside of him and asked the question, but instead he chose the path that he did. And now that young man is dead. Okay, so we're going to talk about it. Local caller, you're on the online. Philly, you're still open. Local caller, you're on the line.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
How you doing?
Wonderful.
Been in school, man. Hey, man, I had a chance to listen to you.
Oh, man, that's great.
Can I sample some back shows?
Well, yeah, you can do what you want. Go ahead.
No, I'm asking, can I order some back shows?
Yeah, you can go straight to Blog Talk Radio.
Okay.
And we're archived, period, for the last 4 years, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, because I missed the one when the Browns beat the Steelers.
They didn't want to talk about it, man.
Oh, is that what happened?
Oh, man, Tracy didn't want to talk about that.
Yeah, I got a day off today, and I still thought about you.
My goodness. You know what? I was taking my daughter back to school.
Uh-huh. How's she doing, man?
She's doing great, man. Somebody flew her back in for an engagement last weekend. I took her home the week before, but flew her in and flew her back home again. So that, I mean, she's doing good. She's doing good. So, but yeah, man, them squealers didn't want to talk about that.
No good. What you call the squealers?
The squealers, the Pittsburgh squealers.
You know what? The reason why I called you though was I was in Liberty a couple of weekends ago watching the football game.
Uh huh.
And I ordered a pizza, and you know, of course, I just gave my cell phone number. And I had to give them so much information. And then the guy came back and said, this is a cell phone. We can't take that. We need a landline.
Sell me my car.
And I said, man, all I want is a pizza. But the reason why I'm bringing that up is I'm for more government control on guns.
Oh, really?
Because that's what I'm saying. I got to give up all this information to get a pizza, and I can go online and buy an assault weapon with a credit card. Come on.
Oh, I got you. I'm with you.
You know, you're fighting a 20th century war with 19th century mentality.
Well,
times have changed.
Oh, yeah.
So I am for more government policy on gun control.
Yeah, and the only reason why I am not for more control, because they got enough laws on the books that they don't enforce now, it's because you have to, you know, right now, criminals are not going to go through what you go through to own a gun.
See, I disagree with you on that. You can go online with a credit card and buy a gun and have it tomorrow.
Yeah, but see here, what I'm saying to you is this. Criminals are not going to go through that.
They will, because you get a prepaid credit card.
I mean, they can do it, but they're going to buy it from Jody down the street, okay?
It ain't like that no more, man.
You know, I don't know about that.
I know too many guys that I call them street farmers. they buy them prepaid phones. They buy them like water.
Oh yeah, they sure do.
And throw them away.
Hey, and they buy them and they get Obama phones, and don't have to worry about it. They use that as their main line, and they get so many minutes a month, and you know, and they go from there. And you can always buy more minutes for that, so you make that as your real phone, and then for your your underground economy, you know.
But I am for more government control, man, because we got to do something about all this killing, man.
That's not going to stop the killing.
You know what? You call me wrong, and I'll put one more, and I'll let somebody else, you know.
That's all right.
I'm for racial, you can call it racial profile, whatever you want. If you think a dude got a gun, stop him and take that car out. Because everybody carry a gun. I see him when I go to the corner store. He can see it laying on the seat.
Oh.
They don't even hide him.
No, well, you're not allowed to hide him. If you don't, you're allowed to carry a weapon out in the open. Okay? You're allowed to carry it out in the open. But if you conceal it, put it in your glove compartment or something like that, and the police find out, that's when you get in trouble.
I don't think everybody got a CC, though. What the people I'm talking about.
Well, like I said, the concealed carry people leave their stuff right out on the seat. I mean, the people that are not concealed carry, they leave their gun right on the dashboard, on the armrest or something, wherever it's out and open, because you're allowed to do that.
I don't think these are people I'm talking about, though. These are self-ordained.
Even if they own the gun illegally, they don't have, it's still better that they keep it in the open rather than have it concealed, because if it's concealed and it's found, you get fined.
Yeah.
But if you leave it out in the open and you aren't doing anything wrong, they can't stop you.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not allowed. That's the law. So
I'll give you one more and I'll let you go.
Uh-huh.
In 90, I did pretty good at shooting tank gunnery in Germany.
Right.
I was high tank in 3rd Armored Division.
Uh-huh.
So they sent me to, my whole crew, they sent us to Aberdeen Proving Ground in Maryland. So since I was home, I took 2 weeks leave in the States because I got a free ride to the States.
Right.
So I come home to see my mother. And it was late at night, and I know my mom, she locked up at 7 o'clock. I went over to my sister's house out of Boardman. I took a cab out there from Lansdowne Airport.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm in uniform, and I'm ringing the buzzer. You know, my sister's not home. I don't know because I didn't call her, but I'm surprising everybody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was about less than 10 minutes. I want to say five. But five, 6 minutes. 3 Boardman cops stopped me and asked me if they helped me.
Right.
This is 1990.
Oh, I was living in Boardman in 1990.
And I'm still on my name tag on my uniform and the name tag on the buzzer. This is my sister. She lives there.
Well, that's why they asked you, could they help you? Because when they stopped me, they didn't ask me, could they help me?
Yeah. But a little of that, I feel a little Trayvon Martin there,
You
didn't escalate to that.
Well, thank God, because you had a really professional doing it. But hey, man, I had a policeman stop me. He was highway patrol. I had come through the intersection, coming up from Glenwood across into 224. I used to live way out that way, and they saw me go through the light. He didn't have anything on because I had my radar detector on, because I was getting it. I wanted to get home. I'd been at my studio. It was late at night. And so I went through that intersection, and he told me I ran the light. And, because I asked him what he stopped me for. He said, well, you ran the light. I said, no, sir, I did not run the light. And so, but he didn't want to tell me what he stopped me for. But when I told him, I said, no, sir, I did not run the light. He unbuckled his gun belt and said, I said you ran the light.
Really?
Oh, I remember the guy's name, face, everything right now. He got a promotion about a year later, too, for being such a good cop, obviously. But that really got me, because I know a lot of highway patrolmen, and they said he's really a good guy, but he wasn't a good guy to me. And I went to court on that ticket because I wasn't paying that ticket, and I won it.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I won it because he put all the stuff on there that he saw me coming for a mile and a half, but yet it was foggy and raining outside and all of this stuff, blah, 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 which I told him. I said, well, Judge, I said, he's telling you the reason why. I said, now, I'm here in court, and you can give me a ticket for speeding if that's what you want. I said, because I sped through the intersection, and that's what he knew that I did, but he had to say something else. Because if I had run the light, I would have hit him because he was in the turning lane getting ready to turn on to Glenwood.
Okay.
I would have hit him. So he knows I didn't run that light. And so the judge said, you know what? And then he asked the sergeant, he done blah, blah, blah. And he said, well, no, sir, but he said, how did you see him coming? Boom, they threw it out. And he was hot. He was hot about that. But you know what? They stopped me still for about 2-3 more months. Every month they stopped me one time. They knew my car. They knew who I was. But they stopped me anyway. And that's neither here nor there.
Yeah. And I give you one more thing. I'll let you go. You and your last caller, y'all got more faith than I do. And I'm not a lawyer. But if you read that Florida law, he can get off.
Oh, he's not going to get off.
He can, though.
No, he can. He's going to go. He's going to get a manslaughter charge.
I'll be shocked if he does. If you read that law.
Okay, I'm going to read it again. I read it at the time, you know, when everything was hot about it. But I'm going to take a look at that again. But I don't think he's going to get off now because public opinion is against the system.
Yeah.
And I don't think I don't think they're going to want riots. And they know he's wrong because, first of all, he should not have followed this man.
But by law, he can get off. I'm telling you. Don't
yeah, but he instigated it.
Okay.
So that's gonna have a weight in that courtroom, the fact that he did not say, sir, are you lost? Do you need some help?
Yeah, exactly.
Because if he had done that, if he was somebody of criminal activity, the man would have, you know, run off and got out the way, knowing he couldn't get away with nothing.
Well, I'm not a lawyer, but I'm just saying the way I read it, he got to get shot. Hey, one last thing, man. I don't talk to you. You and your family have a good holiday.
Hey, man, same to you, and I appreciate you calling. We missed you.
Yeah, all right.
All right, partner.
Bye.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting, ladies and gentlemen. Trayvon Martin case is going to be really, really something when it starts going down that road, because I don't see any way that he walks right now without some kind of jail time. And the reason why is because, once again, he instigated the whole incident. And once he did that, once he followed that man, and continued to follow him when the police told him to stand down. He walked over a line. He went over a line, and that was the situation. It wasn't. Philly, I'm going to bring you back in, but we only got 30 seconds before we go to break.
Yeah, the only other fact is that they can't prove that the teenager struggled for the gun from George Zimmerman. So if they can't prove there was a struggle for a gun, then it looks like he might have fired on the teenager if the teenager struck him in some type of way, and that would be seen as using force that was unnecessary. So,
deadly force.
That would make it more so a manslaughter case.
Absolutely, and number three about that is, you know, that he there was no residue on Trayvon's hand at all. So he did not ever touch that gun. Be back.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
The Curiosity Shop, located in Canfield, Ohio on Route 224, is an upscale consignment shop with downtown charm and fashion-forward taste. A women's clothing and accessory store that offers carefully selected items with friendly service in a boutique-like atmosphere. The Curiosity Shop is never overcrowded and always a great shopping experience. Ann Klein, Escada, Liz Claiborne, Ann Taylor, Dana Buckman, and more. From petite to full figure, the Curiosity Shop is the place for you. Open Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 6, Saturday 10 to 4. Located on Route 224 in the Hilltop Village Plaza next to McDonald's in Canfield. It's fashion on a budget. It's the Curiosity Shop.
Woo! Hey, this is Pastor Tyrone talking at you. Hey, at the end of the year, we all made some sort of New Year's resolution. Hey, how's that going? I'd like to encourage you towards one addendum to your resolutions. Be resolved to love all the more. And if you're able, join us in love, prayer, and giving at HeartReach. You can reach us anytime. Check us out on the web. You can reach us at www.heartreach.com or hit us on Facebook. Or if you're so inclined, call us at 330-744-2000. We're an inner city organization of believers present to make a difference for the glory of God. We are transforming our community one child at a time. And that's what we do at HeartReach. And we hope the listening audience across the nation will do the same. Be resolved to love all the more and hit us at HeartReach. We love you. Woo!
What about free shoes for life? If you had a chance to win free shoes for life, would you want it? And if you had a chance to win a $500 gift card each and every month, would you want it? Well, here it is. This year, every time you visit Ryer Shoe Store, you can register for your chance to win free shoes for life. And every month, we're giving away a $500 gift card, too. So zip on over to Ryer's and register for your chance to win. And know this, if your feet are hard to fit, Ryers is your shoe store. We have sizes and a great sales staff who know how to fit you right. Ryers offers superior service, a fabulous collection, and competitive prices. Just by driving a couple more miles, by shopping Ryers, your feet leave with smiles. And a chance to win free shoes for life. No purchase necessary, no tax on shoes. In beautiful downtown Sharon.
Luke Asinovich and Associates is a private mental health and substance abuse treatment group. We address a wide range of addictions and mental health issues for adolescents and adults. We are currently accepting new clients at our Boardman office. If you need help, call us at 1-888-440-0982 to schedule an appointment. We accept public and private insurances. Luke Asinovich and Associates is a subsidiary of Consortium Clinical Services. Call 1-888-440-0982 for an appointment. That's 1-888-440-0982.
Are you satisfied with your current level of reproductive health care? Have you been considering making a change? Dr. Hill and Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley are accepting new patients. Call 330-746-7007 for comprehensive female care that includes fertility treatment, contraception management, and prenatal care through delivery. Dr. Hill and Associates in Women's Health of Mahoning Valley provide individualized, personalized care in a soothing, first-class environment. Call 330-746-7007. Most insurances accepted.
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambastech.com.
We're back with Tracy and Friends.
on News Talk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229, or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM, online at TracyAndFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
And once again, we're afternoon with Tracy and Friends, Jeff in the air chair, 330-781-9600. Unlimited internet lines at 1-347-945-5229. We're not talking about Obamacare or the fiscal cliff today unless you want to. And I don't know what you want to talk about on that tip, but we're talking about guns right now. And wondering whether there's a any kind of coincidences or not coincidences, but does it have anything to do with the murder of this past weekend where Mr. Belcher shot his girlfriend, his baby's mother, and him, you know, and himself after thanking the coaching staff for the opportunities they gave him to play football? Crazy. But true, it happened. So I want to know what you think about it. Do you think that if he did not have a gun readily available, that this might not have happened? He's big and strong enough where he could have choked the girl to death or broke her neck, but maybe he wouldn't have killed himself, or maybe he would have jumped off the side of a bridge somewhere.
Well, from what I hear, a lot of NFL players are on strong steroids and strong different types of stimulants because of the injuries that they're receiving during
Absolutely.
The game.
Yep.
And a lot of these drugs are starting to affect their mental abilities. And
that's
something that's not talked about by people who are in training camp and a lot of the coaches don't talk about it. But
I agree.
Like some of these players are on drugs like Vicodin and other types of drugs, which are starting to affect their ability to function mentally. And this guy might have been on one of these types of narcotics.
That's another thing I didn't bring into consideration in this case. But you know, a lot of people were saying different things about it, and I'm up there saying, and they're trying to say, you need to get rid of these guns. That's the most asinine thing to me, is to get rid of the guns, because if you get rid of the guns, you're getting rid of your ability to protect yourself, whether it be from your government, like if you had a Mr. Chavez from down there in South America, or a Cuba situation. Or, you know, or a, you know, 1940s Germany situation.
Yeah,
you
anytime,
need to be...
anytime you limit the gun, the availability of the public to get guns, the murder rate always increases. Because in a lot of cases, the police get to a crime scene after the crime has been committed. And if a person is poor and a minority living in a high crime area, it's advantageous for them to have a handgun because they need to protect themselves because they're the most likely victim of crime. And right now, I know many people that work ordinary jobs, but they live in these minority inner city neighborhoods and they carry a gun every day. They carry a gun after they leave the house for work and after they come back. In one case, I know one guy, he carries a gun like anytime he has to go outside to even go to the supermarket because he lives in such a high crime area and he never knows when a shootout is going to break out.
Oh, I know that. I believe that. 269, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
What's going on, man?
What's going on, Michigan man?
Oh, not much, man. I just wanted to comment on the issue of the crime you was talking about, if you did that research. Well, you know, Amos Wilson did a lot of work on that, the psychology of criminality.
Yeah.
And you probably, well, what you basically were trying to get at was you said, well, let's see who committed the crimes to see if they see how they voted, right?
I'm being politically incorrect. Yes.
Yeah, I guess you know what you're trying to say, man.
You know exactly what I'm trying to say.
No, I need you to be.
Oh, you want me to spell it out for you? That's all. You acting like you can't get to it.
But one of the things it's probably going to come out the way you want it. But one of the things he said was a lot of times the type of crime is based off of people's socio-political standing in a society, and there's
right.
studies been done on that. So it's not that you would see lower income people creating more crime. It would be that you see them being convicted of certain types of crime,
mm-hmm.
where other parts of the community who may not be low income, they just do different types of crimes.
Okay.
Now that's the work that he did. So you have to put that in that perspective.
Right, right.
And
then
the other thing, Jeff, you know too that all of the studies that clearly state that wherever there's abject poverty and all of that stuff, crime is going to be riddled in there. And now that's just a common theme, regardless of what country you're in, regardless to race, and any of that. So I don't know. He was trying to be slick. I don't know what you.
Now why I got to be
slick?
It must
be like Reverend Sharpton. But I got you.
Sharpton.
Let you get away with that. We got.
We want to know whether we turned our scars into stars, and
but that's what I was calling to say about that crime.
Here it is. The reason why I said that is this: before Christ in my life, okay, before I came to be a believer, I was very well acquainted with the streets.
Okay.
Very well acquainted with it, and very well acquainted with pharmaceutical sales and all that stuff. Okay.
You was a businessman.
I knew all about it. I wasn't not real big, but I knew all about it. Let's put it that way. I could have been in jail if my father wasn't who he was at the time when I was just a teenager, and God was good and. I opted to go to the service. Okay, so we'll leave that one alone. But the situation is that I understand how people get locked up into the lifestyle. But guess what I had that I never bought from the store? I had a gun. And my brother had to take my gun from me, okay? Because I was a little skinny cat, and I was ready to use that if, somebody was going to walk up on me or be a certain way toward me, I was going to do something with you, okay? And so I never forget. My brother saved my life, okay, by doing that. So the point is this, though, and you know what minded I was at that time? Guess who I would have voted for at that time that was president?
Who was that?
Jimmy Carter. I would have been a Jimmy Carter voter, even though I was raised differently. I spent about 2 or 3 years of lunacy in my life, okay? I was a lunatic for about 2-3 years. So now, I finally got it together and I got back on the right path, okay? So now we'll leave that alone. But my point is this. I understand it. I understand the situation, how people fall into it. I understand, and I see why it is like it is. But nobody that's in it can see that the people that they support are the ones most responsible for them being in the state that they're in. And that's what bothers me. There's a supporting of a class. And you and I both know, we'll say this, a concerted effort of some Caucasians in this country were the Jim Crow people, or I should say the Black Codes people. Because the Black Code says we'll let blacks get educated, but we'll never let them know as much as the white man. That was a literal code, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not making this up or saying something prejudiced or pointing out racism just for the sake of it. This was a governing code that political bodies took hold of in this country. Am I right, Michigan man?
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right.
Okay. So when I'm saying this, I'm not saying this to try to make somebody feel guilty or anything else. I'm just trying to let you know that there is a little system that still exists of people. They're all over the place. They're in all kind of parties that will try to make sure that African-Americans never rise above a certain level. But African-Americans in this country could change their whole mindset or their whole lot in life if they would quit playing favorites and play with themselves. If they would organize with the monies that they've earned out of this society, because we had a free society. It's better for you to be free because you can make money like Mr. Berger had, and you can change a lot of lives with that money. And you don't have nothing. You can't change anything. You give your vote. It's most of the time that's all your community has to offer is a vote. And you're voting for the people that want to give you crumbs instead of giving you the opportunity, opening up the opportunity for you to make millions. That's my whole total scream here on this airwaves. I don't care about what party you're in. I don't care. Stay in what. I don't care if you're in the Blue Dog Party, the Red Cat Party, or whatever it is. The freedom in America right now can allow you to make a lot of money and have a lot of power if you quit being dependent on people giving you crumbs. Now, am I right about any of that, Michigan man?
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't know that it's, you know, it's a difference between taking advantage of a person versus just, you know, you not making a person, if you're not in the business of making people aware of what their political opportunities are. And I just think, you know, Democrats, particularly majority Democrats, they're not in the business to educate blacks, you know.
No.
And I don't even know, I mean, I don't even think they're supposed to be in that business.
I do.
Well, I don't, because what you're talking about, Jeff, when you're really just talking about who's going to get what resources, how much of it, and when. And if they're caught up in, just like the unions, now clearly blacks, and some blacks even know that, The unions in the Democratic Party care very little about the blacks who are in the unions, other than pay your doggone dues.
Mm-hmm.
But those blacks don't drive the agendas of those unions, and they never will.
I agree.
So, you know, I don't know if that's called taking advantage of them.
This is why I say taking advantage of. We're going to be about 40 seconds before we go to news. They take advantage by this. They get you all riled up over 1% against the 99. They get you all right out with you know, Biden coming up a certain way. They can put you all back in chains. He can talk in black dialect and mock you and tell you that they're going to put you back in chains. How the heck they're going to put me back in chains? They'll have to put it to me while my body is dead and cold, because I ain't going back in no chains for nobody. Okay? So that's what I'm talking about. They take advantage of you because they don't tell you the real stuff. They give you the fake stuff and get you excited. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We'll be right back.
I'm Mark LaVoy, WSOM News. A woman was killed and a 5-year-old boy was critically injured in a shooting yesterday afternoon just north of the Kent State University campus. The boy was shot in the head. A 12-year-old girl reportedly found the crime scene when she got off a school bus on State Route 45. There were no suspects. Youngstown Mayor Chuck Zamarone has issued written reprimands to 4 health district workers because there was no record of health inspections for 11 on-campus dining locations at Youngstown State University. The city gave the workers 45 days to fix the problem. And a 37-year-old Boardman man pleaded guilty yesterday to attempted murder in connection with an attack on his ex-wife and 2-year-old son. John Sylvester was accused of stabbing the woman and cutting the toddler with a knife. Prosecutors say they will recommend a 16-year prison sentence. Sylvester was convicted back in 1999 of trying to shoot and kill a girlfriend. You're up to date. I'm Mark LaVoy, WSOM News.
This holiday season, REI wants to know, why do you go outside?
For the love of peace.
Quiet. Ease.
Calm.
Lying in the snow.
For the love of running.
Laughing.
Hiding.
Seeking. Watching my daughter grow. For the love of comfort.
Joy.
Family.
Friends. Everyone I know.
For the love of outside. REI is where I go.
Gear, guidance, inspiration. Visit REI for outdoor gifts this holiday season. Now through December 9th, spend $100 or more and get a $20 promotional gift card. Restrictions and card expiration dates apply. Visit your local REI or REI.com.
Who's there for WSOM Red Eye Flight 600 at Bravo? Permission for taxi to take off runway 9 with information. Over.
Red Eye Flight 600, permission to taxi to runway 9 via Bravo to Charlie. Hold at the line. Over.
Roger, Red Eye Flight 600. Over.
WSOM Red Eye Flight 600 cleared for takeoff. Over.
Roger, Red Eye Flight 600. Over.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Very well, thank you. I stumbled upon your show recently. I find it very entertaining.
I appreciate it, sir. And by the way, most people stumble into the show. Very few people actually seek it out. They stumble into the show. By the way, another thing, too, over the years, I can't tell you the number of times that someone has told me that they found the show because they had to pee. They got up in the middle of the night to pee, and they turned on the radio, and there I was. And I said, so urine has brought us together.
This is the Valley's home for late night talk with Red Eye Radio. This is News Talk 600.
This is Becky Wall from Deering Compressor. Are you looking for a career and not just a job? Then we may be looking for you. We continue to grow here at Deering, and we are searching for talented, trained individuals to fill our wide range of positions, from entry level to quality inspectors, machine assemblers, and certified welders. Deering Compressor is proud to support the area's local education and training centers that have developed programs and degrees to prepare our local workforce for the jobs of the future.
Eastern Gateway Community College is an affordable, accredited state college for a better education.
If you're just graduating from high school and you want to take college classes but you don't know what to do, Eastern Gateway Community College is a good way to start to get you into college classes. So it's a good starting point, it's a good foundation to get basic courses for your education.
Deering Compressor, proud sponsor of Putting America and Our Valley Back to Work. Check us out at DeeringComp, that's DeeringComp.com.
We really need jobs. We just got to get the corruption out of our government. The biggest problem we have is ignorance.
Tune to News Talk 600 for the latest local and national news. Only on News Talk 600 WSOM. If it comes up, it goes out. Live weekdays from noon to 3. Listen to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that covers the Valley issues that matter to you, plus global topics and news of the day. Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Introducing Mr. Perfume and More, the area's most recent discount outlet for perfumes and colognes.
and the most beautiful handbags and accessories. Mr. Perfume is located in the Mill Creek Plaza at 7101 Lockwood Boulevard, right next to the Blue Wolf Banquet Center. Come in and let Mr. Perfume find the fragrance that will fit you or your significant other to a T. Mr. Perfume is the area's foremost authority on perfumes and colognes. And once you have experienced Mr. Perfume, you'll be a customer for life. Take advantage of the weekly specials at Mr. Perfume and more on selected fragrances and fashion handbags and accessories. Mention you heard this on Tracy and Friends and receive an extra 10% off of your purchase. Not only that, if your birthday is on a Friday in November, be the first customer through the door on your birthday and you'll receive a free perfume or cologne valued at $45 or more. Open from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday, closed on Sunday. Call 330-629-2816.
And we're back once again. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. It's 10 minutes to the hour of 2 o'clock here on WSOM 608 AM. And we are now talking to two of our guys on the line, and we're going to bring in South Carolina here to see what he has to say about weapons. And hey man, I'm going to run a 2 week little thing. I'm going to listen to the newscast on the news breaks, and every time I'm going to find out how the person that committed the crime voted. What you think, man? South Carolina, where you at, man?
Oh, I'm right here.
Oh, did you hear what I said?
I want to find out myself, but the majority of the people I know that have guns.
Yeah.
I've got a friend that has over 45 firearms in his house. They're all locked up in the safe.
Mm-hmm.
The only person that knows the combination is him. Now his wife does have her own gun that she has in her own special place that is also locked. Okay.
Right.
They don't go out and shoot people just because they have guns. They don't go out and bother people or get in trouble and try to, you know, throw their chest out because they know they got a concealed carry license. They mind their own business and they do what good, productive citizens do. And that's it. But somebody's got to explain to me why in the world, you know, this one incident concerning one prominent person shooting themselves or shooting somebody else means you got to have gun control. That's stupid. He could have taken an axe to her. You want to get axe control then?
They do it every time. They do it every time. When the man went crazy out in Aurora, Colorado. By the way, we're seeing a whole lot of real American people that are getting noticed in the news for doing great acts of kindness and great acts of heroism. Right there in Aurora, I believe it was yesterday, that there was a car fell on a guy, and that the police were there on the site. One policeman was on the site, and several Good Samaritans came up, helped lift the car up, and so they could pull the gentleman out, and then the guys just left and didn't want to be recognized or nothing like that. They just came up and did it for nothing. Elderly man's house up in that was hit by Sandy. He's 95 years old. His wife had just gone to the hospital. But that's a different thing altogether. You know, it's like these things are breaking out because you're seeing who the true people that can help are, and it's not the freaking government. Excuse me. It's not the government. The government can't do it, ladies and gentlemen, especially when you have a cataclysmic event like a Katrina or a Sandy. But here's where you're going to pay for some things, the people that did this. Mr. Bush was totally denigrated for Katrina. That was not his fault, because it was Kathleen Blanco and Nagin, Mayor Nagin's fault, that the damage that was done was unrepairable to that city, because they didn't make sure some things happened with the federal monies that they got to fix that area. But that's neither here nor there. I'm just giving you a little for instance, that, you know, because when you're not honest, these things come back and bite you. And this is Mr. Obama's Katrina, and no, they're very wary about letting that happen, even though these people are getting on the news complaining and saying, where's the help, FEMA? I'm not seeing it. I'm just not seeing it.
Well, they're being awful quiet. The news media is being awful quiet. Every night you saw something from the Ninth Ward.
Yeah.
Not right now.
Yeah. Well, we got Michigan Man on with us, and we got on hold on, how did I forget who you are? 267. We got Philly on with us. Yeah. Philly, Michigan Man, and then you. And so, you know, you guys chime in whenever you want to, you know, you want to make a point. But it's really something to see, because I'm looking at the people that want to get rid of the guns. Now, the guns aren't causing the problem. It's people, and I said it earlier, it's our standard of living anymore. We don't have any. We don't have any right and wrongs in our society anymore. We don't have any thresholds of what is decent or indecent in our societies anymore.
Well, you already have a ban on automatic or semi-automatic weapons.
No.
If somebody has that on the street, they're automatically going to do federal time for it.
Well, this is the problem, though. If you take law-abiding citizens' ability to own street sweepers, guess who still has them?
Well, the people in the drug gangs have them.
Thank you. So now, yeah. Then who's going to defend themselves against something like that? What if I live in the inner city and, you know, they're outside my house on either side of my house shooting at each other through mine?
Yeah.
Somebody got to stop it. You know
somebody
what I'm saying?
Has to stop it. Well, the police have to have access to weapons that are more powerful than what the criminals have, but the ordinary citizen should be able to get like a firearm or a handgun of some type so that they can protect themselves in the case of a robbery.
Right. Well, but not only just a robbery, Philly, you know, protect yourself in case of anything. I brought up the specter that, you know, with this Supreme Court that probably is getting ready to come into power, that you're going to have some rules made that you might not want made. You know, I'm thinking that might be a case here. And I'm a little concerned about that, because I don't think it's right that we're going to go down a political far left path because, you know, they sold a better candidate on who'd be better at running things. Now, how that's happened, I don't know. Like I said, I don't understand it.
Hey, Jeff, though.
Yeah.
Do you really think Obama cares about that?
No, he doesn't care about that.
I mean, because people, I've met people, and they really have the idea that President Obama really 100% genuinely cares about them.
Yeah, because he said it. Plain and simple, just because he said it. They think that he's you know, he loves them, and I understand.
So you tell a lie long enough and enough times, it becomes truth.
Say that again.
If you say a lie long enough, it becomes truth.
Oh yeah, exactly. And that's what happened, because the news media helped him do it. News media helped him do it. They were replete in this one, and they're going to pay a price for it. But the thing is they are on the liberal side of things real heavy, and you're going to see that situation come to fruition. And Stan, I lost in the primary, Stan, so no, I'm not a sore loser. Anyway, 412, you're on the air. No, wait, 412, 330-261, you're on the air.
Jeffrey.
Hey, what's going on, man?
let me tell you something. You keep talking about President Bush's Katrina and Obama's Katrina.
Yeah.
But Jeff, if you build your house below sea level, give me a break. You build your house below sea level, and then you want the government to come to your rescue?
Sandy, people weren't below sea level. They were quite above it. And news may interrupt us in a couple seconds, you guys.
Sandy people built their homes right on the edge of the water.
On the edge of the water, not below sea level.
I was gonna send them some money, but I figured like this. If you can build your house that close to the ocean, you got enough insurance money to pay for the recovery. But I don't understand. Look, life situations, danger, situations, all this kind of stuff. Call an act of God, act of man. This is life situation. Same way with your solutions with guns. Man, you don't have enough bullets to fight your neighbor next door, and you know you wouldn't want to in the first place.
Let me say something to you. You don't have enough thing, but I'm going to tell you like this. If they try to change, go too far, and they come to try to take my weapons, they will get them while they're still firing.
They can have mine, but they're going to have to give me some food instead because I'm not just going to give it to them.
Okay. Hey, Kavina, man, I ain't had no problem for you in a long time. Call in.
You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. 27 days and counting until the automatic tax increases and deep spending cuts known as the fiscal cliff. President Obama and Congress are still no closer to a deal, but the president is still optimistic. ABC's Ann Compton tells us why.
President Obama insists he's not being stubborn. It's the Republican math that doesn't work, relying just on program cuts and closing tax loopholes. He says real tax reform can't be done by Christmas.
We're not going to be able to come up with a comprehensive tax reform package that gets it all done just in the next 2 weeks.
The president tells Bloomberg TV he and Congress can lay down a down payment now and avoid the fiscal cliff. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
A bipartisan group of the nation's governors in Washington today urging Republicans and the president to reach a deal now.
The states are willing to share the sacrifice. We don't want to take it all, but we're willing to do our part.
Arkansas Governor Mike Beebe. FEMA Director Craig Fugate says there are shortcomings in the recovery effort more than a month after Superstorm Sandy.
The current household reimbursement that we would provide under individual assistance is capped at about $31,000. We know that's insufficient to provide repairs to many of the homes that were heavily damaged.
Fugate testifying to a House committee today. A leaky valve is blamed for the carbon monoxide leak, which led to yesterday's evacuation of 500 students from an elementary school in Atlanta. This student describes the scene.
I saw kids passing out. I saw them shivering. I saw some kids just moving around like they were dizzy.
More than 40 students were taken to the hospital. The others were transported to a nearby school. Prince William left a London hospital smiling and waving to onlookers today. He was visiting his pregnant wife, Kate, who is suffering from a severe form of morning sickness. The Dow is up 10 points. The NASDAQ is off 5. This is ABC News.
An important message from Medicare. It's Medicare open enrollment, now through December 7th. Time to compare plans. Happy with your current one? You can always keep it, but it never hurts to look. And check out the preventive benefits you get after the healthcare log, with no copays or deductibles, like a yearly wellness visit. Savings, too, like over 50% off brand name prescriptions in a donut hole. Medicare open enrollment. Now's the time. Visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE.
Up here. It's me, your smoke alarm. Yeah, I know it's 2 a.m., but what do I care? You could shut me up by snatching the batteries out of your kid's favorite toy. or you can forget about it for good with Kidder's new worry-free smoke alarms. They all come with a sealed-in battery that lasts 10 years. That'll save you time and money. And each unit's designed to help you choose the right alarm for the right location in your home. Head to the Home Depot today and rest easy tonight with worry-free smoke alarms by Kidder.
A classic rock band which has been on the scene for decades is about to hit the road again. More from ABC's David Blaustein.
In part marking the 35th anniversary of their most celebrated album, Rumors, Fleetwood Mac has announced its Fleetwood Mac Live 2013 tour. The tour kicks off April 4th in Columbus, Ohio, and runs through June 12th, wrapping up at the Joe Louis Arena in Detroit. It's 34 dates in 34 cities, including 7 Canadian dates. The band last toured in 2009. Around the time of the tour, Rhino Records will also be releasing a deluxe reissue of Rumors, including previously unreleased studio and live tracks. David Blaustein, ABC News.
Bob Dole returned to the Senate floor for a vote today on a treaty on disabilities. The 89-year-old former senator appeared on the Senate floor in a wheelchair with his wife Elizabeth nearby. The Kansas Republican was there to offer his support for the treaty and efforts to treat disabled American veterans with respect. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Introducing Mr. Perfume and More, the area's most recent discount outlet for perfumes and colognes and the most beautiful handbags and accessories. Mr. Perfume is located in the Mill Creek Plaza at 7101 Lockwood Boulevard, right next to the Blue Wolf Banquet Center. Come in and let Mr. Perfume find the fragrance that will fit you or your significant other to a T. Mr. Perfume is the area's foremost authority on perfumes and colognes. And once you have experienced Mr. Perfume, you'll be a customer for life. Take advantage of the weekly specials at Mr. Perfume and More on selected fragrances and fashion handbags and accessories. Mention you heard this on Tracy and Friends and receive an extra 10% off of your purchase. Not only that, if your birthday is on a Friday in November, be the first customer through the door on your birthday and you'll receive a free perfume or cologne valued at $45 or more. Open from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday, closed on Sunday. Call 330-629-2816.
And we're back once again. The big show is starting in this last hour. Oh, thank you, audience. Thank you, thank you. We got a full bank up here. We got 412. I lost my 216, 330, excuse me. So 412, you are on the air.
Good afternoon, Jeff.
Good afternoon, sir.
Everybody else in Michigan, and I think Alabama was on the line too. I don't think it was.
Alabama's gone right now, but he'll be back.
Okay. You know, I really appreciate the topic you're talking about today with the firearms, because that's it's near and dear to me, especially living down here in Florida, or a stand your ground state.
Yeah, there you go.
I look at firearms like I do everything else. Including drugs and all that, you know, you can't, we need to promote more freedom, not less. There was a study done that, is it Phoenix or Tucson, Arizona or whatever, but what they basically, the citizens can open carry, and, they showed that their crime rate is half of that of Chicago, that it, like, has, you know, very, very strict gun laws.
Absolutely.
You know? And I fully believe in that. You know, the only reason I have a concealed carry permit is because, you know, I thought it was ridiculous that I had to go get one in the first place, because the Constitution says I should be able to bear arms. You know, I have
right.
This right, but they're stripping that from us. So, you know, I had to go get my concealed carry permit so that I can do whatever I want with my firearms and however I want to do it, whether I want to have it out on my car seat or in my glove box or whatever. I don't have to worry about any legality of that. You know, I'm covered. You know, but that's just the way I feel about it. We need more freedom, not less, and just enforce the law that's on the books. You know, it's already against the law to, you know, commit a violent injury to somebody else, and just enforce those laws if that happened. But don't try to, well, you know, regulate what people can buy and all this stuff. It's just a waste of time, and it's just politicians trying to justify their existence.
I don't believe that part of it is true. I believe that they are trying to put forth a mindset that they don't want the populace to own guns. And I think that they intend to keep you from owning guns so that whenever they... Who said that? Okay, they're trying to keep you from owning guns so that they can make you do what they want to when they want to. I don't believe for 1 minute that this is benign.
Oh yeah, I'm scared to death of that. I mean, I think that's Obama's plan, you know, and I do too. The left, you know, is
the progressive left. Mm-hmm. Right.
There's
a progressive left and a progressive right. And they both will do the same thing, but at least one will let America itself be strong so that they can lead the coalition for one world government. And that's my issue with the whole thing. That's why I don't like the left. I don't appreciate the left whatsoever. The right will at least let the country remain strong, which means less suffering for United States citizens, you know, not total negative of that, but less suffering. Let's put it that way. Hold on, Alex. 626, you are on the air a long time. How are you doing?
Hey, good. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, bro. We ain't sparred for months, man. Where you been? You stopped.
I remember you had said something was going to happen in 30 days or something, so I was like, oh, I don't know what's going to happen. Let me just tune back in 30 days and you had predicted some kind of.
Oh, you mean changes? Oh yeah, you're right. You're right in the middle of it. You're right in the middle of it. Look at the healthcare debacle right now where we're at with it, with the companies laying off the people and taking them off of full time employment and putting them on part time. That's one. Number two, look at what happened in Israel. We're pulling away from Israel and let the United Nations recognize Palestinians as a state, a non-observer state, which is going to give them a lot of ability to disrupt things in the Middle East some more.
You missed one.
Go ahead.
The United Nations, by a vote of 173-4, has demanded that Israel join the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty and allow the UN observers in to observe their nuclear facility.
Well,
do you think white supremacy is going to allow that?
Yes.
No, they're not going to allow that.
Look, the United Nations is still dealing with the same thing. What do you mean? There's no difference.
Right, United Nations is one thing. White supremacy is over with United Nations.
Well, that's, in case you didn't know, the Jews aren't white.
No, but they are. The ones in Israel are. They're the main white supremacists in the goddamn world. I mean, what are you talking about?
Because first of all, the white supremacists don't like Jews.
You're talking about there's a difference between like skinhead white supremacists and white supremacists that run things. Those are two different groups.
The white supremacists are
totally different than
World Organization, like I am when I talk about the progressives. Even though you have a lot of progressive Jews, they are not well liked, period. Even though on your left you have a huge one in Mr. George Soros. Okay, I may be wrong on him being a Jew. He may be Greek, and I'm mistaken, but I really believe he's a Jew by something I read, and I may be incorrect because I'd never checked that out a certain way. White supremacy, you're right, and there is absolutely white supremacy going on. I brought that up last hour about, that there are people in this country that want to make sure that we don't get too far. And the black people don't get too far, and they made up rules and regulations.
Yeah, I think so, that if you look into the history of the gun laws in this country. A lot of those gun laws is a result of white supremacy trying to control and make sure black folks didn't have guns. Specifically, if you look at, it's not many, but specifically here in California, where it used to have the right to, you could bear arms, like literally, you can walk down the street with your gun strapped to your side. You can carry a rifle. It was an open carry state, right? This is the West, but they had, you know, the cowboys and stuff, right? But as soon as the Black Panthers started exercising their rights, they changed it. They would quickly change the laws of carrying guns and owning guns here in California.
Well, seeing that when the Republicans put in the concealed carry law and the Second Amendment, that one of the main reasons they put it in for was so that the newly freed slaves could defend themselves against the Klan and the other people that were going to come against them, I can't buy that totally. I can buy it for that there were pockets in different states that they tried to manipulate the laws on the books to do that with, but that's what the laws were for. And see, this is when we get to the history that, like I said, that we're not paying attention to in this country when we call out certain groups as being white supremacists. There are white supremacists in all groups, but all groups are not white supremacists.
No, of course not all groups are white supremacists. You have to specifically look at who was trying to do what and for what reason. And your main group of white supremacists are the people who are in control of the economics, control of education, control of the media, control of, you know, that specific point. So if they're not in control of things, say like the skinheads, they're not in control of nothing that I know of. So that wouldn't be a group I would be necessarily concerned about. Maybe if I was, you know, going through some small town in Georgia or Kentucky or something, I might be, you know, situationally concerned. But it's not something that, you know, we black folks that's not in that region need to be concerned about. The only ones that we need to be concerned about are the ones that are in control. So when you look at, for instance, the other call I had mentioned, the Non-Proliferation Treaty, and there's a reason why certain people have non-proliferation and other ones don't. If the people who are in control are the white supremacists, and they allow Israel not to be compliant, but they want to enforce compliancy on let's say Iran, then you have to see how does that fit into the white supremacy game plan.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. It's too complex for us to grasp in a certain way, because once again, all people that put this country together, weren't supremacists.
Hey, Jeff.
Yeah.
This is Michigan.
Yeah.
Well, see, what you all are calling white supremacists.
I knew you was going to jump in there because I was about to.
Yeah, just take that out of there and just say white culturalists. I mean,
now that's different now. White culturalists now. Wait a minute, Michigan.
But
white culturalists are 99% of the white people in America.
Okay, but that's what you guys are. The social phenomena that you guys are explaining, you're using the word white supremacy when it's not. It's just they're for white cultural hegemony. I mean, and what's wrong with that?
My point was
he's not understanding. So let's try to fix that understanding. There's a difference between cultural hegemony and white supremacy.
Huge difference.
Cultural hegemony could be just anywhere that you can be. You might be in Japan, and you might have Japan hegemony, right? But white supremacy doesn't care about Japan hegemony. White supremacy gives a red ass about what Japan. White supremacy is over Japan.
Then what now? White supremacy is over Japan.
Yeah. White supremacy overrules Japan.
Overrules Japan.
They might have their own
cultural hegemony in Japan. They have their own rights, but Japan is not allowed to do certain things in the global world because of white supremacy. White supremacy rules. Japan is just it just goes along with the program.
You don't think it's because they thought their britches were a little bit too big and attacked Pearl Harbor and got served afterwards?
Well, I'm just giving an example.
Let me say this, man. Let me say this.
Yes, sir.
The you're talking about areas of people interaction here in the United States.
No, we're talking about globally, but in the United States too.
But well, that's not what you guys were just talking about. You were talking about those gun laws and things of that nature pertaining to the United States. Is that, unless I missed something?
Yeah, you missed him because he referred to Israel as well, and them not being under the non-proliferation.
Okay, but
guidelines.
Okay,
of the
I'll
UN.
Say this, and then I'll listen. But see, you the call up allows cover for Jeff. People like Jeff. No, I'm being serious, man. You allow him a wiggle room when you assess what we're talking about is pure people who are looking for cultural power and replace that with, which is what they're supposed to be doing, and try to replace that with white supremacy as if only thing you're talking about is an understanding that a white person has. What does that mean, white supremacy? Hey, I think I'm better than you, and I want to prove it.
Well, that's go ahead, Kavina, man. I'm going to let you handle that.
Yeah, I think when, if you're talking about on a basis where an athlete is competing or somebody is competing over something, that might be a situation in what you're talking about. But when you're talking about white supremacy, it's not about whether or not you and I have a disagreement of opinion. The white person has the authority because they're white in a system that's backed up by everybody white agreeing that there's a white rule, and that if you're non-white, you don't fit in. So
okay, but that's a thinking. In other words, they weren't dropped in here with that white supremacy suit. I mean, they weren't born with the white supremacy suit in their, you know, as part of their clothes when they put on clothes when they were born. It's a thinking that they developed through their culture.
Hello?
Well, here's the thing that I'm going to say to you, Doc.
White supremacy didn't drop out the sky.
No, yes and no. Understand something. White supremacy goes back a long, long way. And like I said, I can't get into the origin of it because we'll get into a matter of belief after that. But here's the bottom line. A certain group of people thought that they were the best of all human beings, and they happened to be the Germani people of way back when that are the Caucasus people, where Hitler got his whole view at of having a master race, and they actually do have a written, not just a particular way of being because their color. They have a written code that white people with blonde hair and blue eyes are the master race, and they're better than the rest, and they have derivatives of their heritage in them that believe that they are better than everybody else, including some other whites on earth, and they're white supremacists. They're not playing with it. Not just these little upstart groups that are real prejudiced people in the United States that have the Ku Klux Klans and the skinheads and things like that. Not just them. You have a group of people across the world. Understand, there's a thing called the Black Code that was instituted in America that said, all right, we're going to let these black people get educated, but we're never going to let them rise to the level of white men. So therefore, they didn't let you go to schools. They didn't let your schools really progress far. They didn't want to really let you get into the school situations where you could prosper and do well in the world. You couldn't go to Ivy League schools for many, 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 many years. And don't forget, the school system was set up like this. Your state schools were for your regular people. Your Ivy League schools were for your leaders. And your leaders were primarily, at one time, the supremacists. But they are also the world-dominant people, the one-worlders, et cetera, et cetera. They teach them how to lead and rule. That's when I say a particular leader was not taught a certain way or raised a certain way, I'm saying it for a reason, not just because I'm talking. These things exist, and these things that are regular people don't really know because they don't – if you're white in America, you don't care because it doesn't affect you because you're white.
Jeff, I think that when you – I mean, you know, you're making some good points about the history, but also you got to look at – and this is for the other caller too – is that it's not just something that happened in this – area known as America. Is something that happened globally.
Absolutely.
So white folks, you got to understand that white folks left Europe in 1492 and set across the globe to take over every culture and every person upon the planet. They went to Europe, they went to India, they went to Africa, they went to Asia, they went to South America, they went to all the regions, took over and so-called discovered places where indigenous people were living and living and prospering, and they wiped those people out. They tried to wipe out the Chinese. They tried to wipe out the Indians. They wiped out the Africans. They enslaved the Africans. They wiped out the Native Americans. That's white supremacy and power. That is not just a belief. That's just saying that we're going to go globally and wipe out all non-white people on the planet. And some places they took over and they spread French. Some places they took over and they spread Spanish. Other places they took over and spread Dutch or English. And that's the extent of white supremacy. So it's not just like who's leading the leaders of the elite college or something. It's about global domination of indigenous peoples around the world. And they set up a system that recognized that Africa or all these other countries, they divided them up. All these places like called Iran and called Kuwait and all that stuff, that stuff didn't exist amongst the indigenous people. That's something white supremacy spread. White supremacy gave these areas names and stuff. They took that. That's all a result of white supremacy. Not places like Japan or places like China, because that was like, along places, but the places where they did conquer and start naming places.
Well, yeah, they couldn't do nothing with the China and
right.
Japan at that time.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I got to get one other. If you are you gonna be able to stay on a little while today?
Yeah.
Okay, because I got a call I got to bring in. 614, you're on there.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm still in the hospital, but
what?
Getting better. Yeah.
Although they believe in prayer, pray for Miss Diva. She's been under the weather, so.
That's what rhabdomyolysis does to you. But when I first called in, you guys were talking about guns.
Yeah.
And then you got on white supremacy. So I'm trying to figure out where I'm going to fit in at. I mean, I get what you guys are saying. I completely understand what you guys are saying.
Mm-hmm.
But I grew up in a different – I mean, when you sit – I grew up in a project. So when you sit and you see knuckleheads, waving guns, and then you're outside playing, and then stupid people come shooting, and then people are getting killed like it's nothing, the community is going to be outraged, and the community is going to demand that their leaders do something. So what are they demanding that the leaders do? They're demanding that the leaders take action on people being able to have access to guns. And it is not just only the bad people have guns. You have what happened to Trayvon Martin. Zimmerman was not a criminal. He was able to, what they consider an upstanding citizen, carry a gun, who made a bad judgment call. And then recently, the 17-year-old boy that got killed at a gas station because the owner, who may have been an upstanding citizen, made a bad judgment call because he felt in fear. Then you have what happened out in Colorado at the movie theater. You have what happened with Columbine or at these schools. So So what are we supposed to do? I mean, obviously the law that we currently had wasn't working because the wrong people were able to get guns from upstanding people.
Well, here's the thing. I think that a lot of the people it has nothing to do with that, and I want to go into this further because I believe it's a matter of how we're living these days. I believe that our societal standards have made it dangerous because of guns, but the situation is, I mean, because of being able to have a gun. But at the same time, if you take that away, the law-abiding citizens will have no way of protecting themselves, nor will you have a way of protecting yourself against your government if they decide to act crazy.
Well, okay, I understand having a gun in your home. But imagine if the recent case where the guy was not able, he said that the young man pulled up by them, he was playing loud music, and he asked them to turn it down, and I'm pretty sure young teenagers, they were very rude and obnoxious towards him. Now, he said he was in fear of his life, so he started shooting. He shot into that vehicle 8 or 9 times and killed a 17-year-old. What could have possibly caused some of me in fear other than his bias and discrimination towards what young black teenagers are portrayed as?
It depends because don't forget that cars with dark windows, tinted windows, are used in what's called drive-bys. And
right,
the gun, nobody stands outside to drive by a car. They stay in the car and shoot out. That's what made him do it, whether it was right or not.
Okay,
I'm just saying.
Right, and I understand that, but here's the thing. I mean,
Now, wait a minute. Somebody said that the teenager just pointed a shotgun at the man.
But the cops said that there was no guns on them. They found no guns, nor was there any evidence that a gun was pulled out. So,
okay,
I mean,
there's a he say, she say.
Yeah, but I feel like there was a stereotype that played into that. People generally give. I saw it with coming up where my friends. I didn't live in the greatest neighborhood. I had a best friend who was white. I would go over her house. Her parents would bring me home, and they would always be like, "Lock your doors." They would see a group of young black kids walking past, and they would always make comments like, "You know, oh, they're gonna rob us and do this and that." And I knew these kids, and they weren't like that. But my thing is that it's not just the bad people or the criminals who are getting guns and making bad judgment calls. Now you have upstanding citizens who seemingly are upstanding citizens who are making bad judgment calls. Then you have whack jobs who don't seem like they're whack jobs, able to get guns legally, or they get guns from someone else who seems to be upstanding.
I'm going to get in trouble for this statement. So this statement is not that of the Tracy and Friends or of the station on which you hear Tracy and Friends. It's only that of Jeff. Do you think that it's because in the community where these things are happening that the communities allow so much crazy stuff to happen that they are being looked at a certain way? In other words, then what I'm saying to you is this. That's still not the gun fault. That is fault. Yeah, go ahead.
But if we didn't have these guns, then...
It wouldn't make a doggone bit of difference because only then the criminals would have them.
I would.
Like
I
said, you know...
But we'll have to agree to disagree.
Well, I mean, you can't disagree with that, Diva, because you can't...
Diva. Tell you why I disagree with that, but I just don't have the energy to really get into that conversation.
Okay, then let me say one thing to you this way. If you take away the ability for law-abiding citizens to have guns or limit them, the criminals are not going to abide by that because they're already lawbreakers. They're going to get on the black market. They're going to get AK-47s, fully automatic, AR-15s, fully automatic, 9mm loaded clips, and they're going to continue their spree. How do you think you're going to stop that?
Okay. How do you think you stop that? You make it more difficult for guns to be accessible. And me personally, if we were to ban guns and you're caught with a gun illegally, I say that instead of getting 2 years, but hold on, listen. I say instead of getting 2 years, we're getting a, there should be a mandatory sentence where you don't have a choice to plead out. You don't have a chance to get the minimum. You're going to get the maximum. And I say make the maximum very, very high.
Because and then, what do you do? And then how do you keep them? Because they're going to do it. You know they're going to do it.
The only reason why they do it, Jeff, is because you get a gun. You get a gun charge, right? You have a chance to plead it down to a misdemeanor and get probation, or you get a chance, you know, 6 months. So who's? Not, I mean, criminals. I
not
mean,
in all cases,
Jeff?
Diva. Not in all cases.
But
that's not true.
In most cases, Jeff, they're
no.
Very
that's just not true.
Jeff. On carrying guns.
Hey, Alex, and then South Carolina.
You know. I hear what Diva's saying, but that's the same logic that they tried to use with the war on drugs. They said, well, if we just put a stiff penalty on it, then people will stop using drugs. And we see how well that worked.
Yeah, because we got more people incarcerated than any other country in the world. You know that, right?
Thing about
and 70% of all black men, over 70%, are in for non-violent drug-related charges, all because of stupid laws like that.
Absolutely.
How is that a stupid law when you have these knuckleheads ruining people's lives, families, and communities because they decide to go out here and sell drugs?
Is it stopping it?
They're not ruining people's lives. The problem is the institutionalization of selective criminalization. You see, because there was a time when the same prohibition happened with alcohol, but people said, you know what, look at what it's doing to our communities. You know, the organized crime that people like to glamorize in the movies with the Lucky Lucianos and the Capones and all of them. I mean, families were being decimated. But, you know, and this is why, you know, why I feel that this country is still, you know, racist to its core, because if it was affecting them the way that it's affecting minority groups, they would care. And so, you know, it's not about, well, this is what they're doing to their community. It is the selective criminalization of certain groups of people that's decimated the community.
I agree with you 1,000%, because, you know, you have a million, almost a million black men, or 500,000 black men, 600,000 in prison, and, you know, and they aren't being productive. They are wards of the state. You're taking care of them, and they could be doing something productive. And the thing is they're not going to do that, because first of all, this country has an attitude, a basic attitude towards you, that they're afraid of you. They respect you, but go ahead.
But the other dynamic, though, man, that's why when you look at it from a both a historical and a scientific perspective, when you look at a situation with all of those in mind, it helps you get a better picture. The other reason, man, the prison industrial complex is big time money. So
huge.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
The thing is, man, and Alex is right. But most societies are racist to the core. I mean, what's wrong? That to me, that's natural.
No, that's not true. I don't think.
I'm not saying race preference, though.
I tell you what, we're gonna if we had time, we would probably have different definitions of what racism is. That's probably.
I'm going by the original definition, not the doctor definition that they use nowadays to, well, we know their intentions, but the original definition of racism was just white supremacy. That's the only functional definition there ever has been in the world.
Okay.
So that's the one that I use.
Is that Dr. Claude Anderson?
Marimba Nee and Francis Cresswell's.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
And Amos Wilson uses that
as well. Well, I tell you what, when you look at how societies are set up, socially set up, it's if not race, then ethnicity. You know, if not ethnicity, then tribe. You know, so you're still talking about the central theme of relationships based off of skin color.
Well, no, not skin color, but I agree that there is some always discrimination based on something, usually some commonality. You know, I agree with that. There, but it's not always on skin color. I mean, that's a new phenomenon with the development of Indo-European people, really, is the skin color thing. But I agree that there is always some discrimination between commonality.
I have a question.
I'm saying that I think there's discrimination based on commonality, but commonalities, but I don't think it has anything to do with skin color. I think that's a particular thing with Indo-European culture, not necessarily all people. I don't think that's cross culture. Is what it is.
I have a question.
Man, I don't know where y'all get these assessments that ain't in total debate, man.
Hold on, Michigan man. Go ahead, Diva. Ask your question.
Okay. Did they create the war on drugs and all these laws before the need arise, or did they create this stuff out of the need?
The need.
Did they create the war on drugs just to create it for a systematic entrapment, or did they create, or did the drugs happen first, and then they created the war on drugs to combat that?
Well,
because all I'm hearing is the system did this, the system did that. I'm sorry, I grew up. My mother sheltered me most of my life from what was around us. But as I got older and was able to make my own decisions, I was not sheltered. And being involved in all of that, it's like, come on, people. These people are making rational decisions to do this. It is not the system's fault that they're out here selling these drugs, tearing up our neighborhood. If you talk to them, they will tell you they choose this lifestyle. It is not the system's fault. Could the system do better in combating it? Sure. But I think the system is overwhelmed and they don't know really what to do.
They know what to do. They're not worried about it one iota, because all they're doing is building more prisons on the third and fourth grade test scores of young African-American men in school. Alex, answer her question.
Let's see Alex. Yeah,
All I was gonna, you want to know which one came first. It's very simple. I mean, there was a lot of things that were America used to actually be one of the hemp used to be one of America's leading crops, actually, back in the 1930s. But, you know, we had tobacco along with the hemp, and, we had tobacco and alcohol and hemp. But the best marijuana you could get came from black and brown countries. And so there was an active effort to criminalize that because of white culture of white supremacy. They didn't want to it was primarily Mexicans, but they were also, you know, from Haiti or Jamaica and places like that. But, you know, they wanted South America as well. And so they chose to regulate tobacco and alcohol, but criminalize the marijuana. And so that's what happened with that, because if it was really about, you know, implications on the public health, then, I mean, tobacco and alcohol probably so many orders of more damage to our health than marijuana ever could. So, like, the argument is just completely bogus.
Let me add in here, too, man. I think that in certain circumstances, it's almost like a win-win situation, or you got two groups buying into it, the drug dealers, sellers and users, and the pre-industrial complex, and the rest of us are almost like third party in this situation. Because like Diva was saying, there's people out here who want to be drug dealers, they want to live that lifestyle, and you got the people over there on the prison industrial complex that are great let them out there sell drugs. We can make money locking them up, taking them to court, being a lawyer, being a prosecutor. We can make money on that. And then, but yeah. The rest of us have to fund it. We either have to fund it with our taxpayers, the prison industrial complex, or we have to live with the neighborhood violence by living next to the crack dealers and the drug users.
Can I add something to that?
Go ahead.
Was that Diva talking?
Yeah, Diva. Davina Man just finished.
The female Diva.
Yeah,
okay.
Diva.
The other thing I would add to that, if she wants to know a thorough and complete understanding of the war on drugs phenomenon, she can get the sister's book, Michelle Alexander, The New Jim Crow.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
And the brother who just said the win-win situation. And see, this is what I mean when I say cultural hegemony. What a culture does is it looks at a situation and it looks for win-wins. The war on drugs provides a win-win throughout the whole cultural system of the justice system, from the local governments getting the grants for the what did they get? They start giving them grants, and it's in the sister's book.
Yeah.
The prosecuting attorneys, right?
Right.
To the local jails, all the way up to the prison industrial complex. And so, you know, now we say, well, is that racism?
Here's the thing. This is what the racism is. The racism is when they criminalized the marijuana when they knew what neighborhood it was going to be in. The racism is when they made the law for crack cocaine to be 10 times more volatile than that of regular powder cocaine. And they knew where it was going to be at. That's the racism. And they did it on purpose because they know it was going to affect a certain people. They brought the drugs into those communities because of one thing. It was the mindset of the Margaret Sangers and the people that wanted to destroy black people. And they did a hell of a job.
And so here's what I'm saying. Here's where
is racism, yes.
But here's where it comes to the cultural hegemony, and it still deals with this concept, which I think we've misconstruing about this white supremacy thing. When what's that noise, man?
I don't know. I got to find it because this sounds like somebody got a parrot loose back there.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
When it benefits the culture, and I think somebody alluded to this, they have no, in other words, there will never be a cultural interest in stopping mass incarceration in America. Never. Because interest groups benefit from the bottom of it to the top of it. So the majority culture will never.
Let me ask this question though. Yes, the majority group benefits from stopping crime. What would be wrong? The majority group, which is all of us, benefit when we incarcerate the minority group, the criminal, regardless of their white or not.
We benefit
from that. We don't have criminals running around the street killing people or out there selling drugs if it's illegal. If you're looking at crime as strictly a racial thing, then you got to be out of your mind.
I didn't say crime. This is how you provide. See, but when we confuse these terms, you provide a mouse hole for the people. I never said that.
What I'm saying is you look in a racial context. You have to look at crime as being what it is.
No. When you're analyzing a system, you look at all of the levers of the system, and then you conclude what it is.
You don't look at
the dude on the corner with the saggy pants and give the definition from that perspective.
Forcing him, saggy pants and all, to be on the corner selling drugs, or him to be out killing someone because he felt disrespected in some kind of way. No one is forcing these people to commit these crimes. They are doing it for whatever reason of their own circumstance and their own judgment. But my question is to you, what suggestions, since you don't agree with the war on drugs, what suggestions do you have? If you could do it your way, how would you do it?
Well, here's up. You're going to have to hold that question because I got another caller to bring in first. 330-240, you're on air. 330-240, you are on the air. Hello, hello. Okay. Hang up and call 911. You got some issues going on in the back. Go ahead. You know, now you know I ain't got no sense, so you know better than that.
Was she talking to me?
Well, you know, whoever the had all that noise back there.
No,
man.
I said was she asked a question.
Yeah, she asked a question about what do you propose?
Well, yeah. I mean, the first thing I'm going to say this, and I'm probably going to lose most of y'all here. I think this thing we call the black community is, I don't know what stage of cancer that is right before death. This is where this thing is, this so-called black community. For the most part, it's done. All right. That's how I view it from that perspective. So you say, what can we do? Who are you talking about, first of all? If you're talking about all of us, there's nothing going to happen where all of us are going to make some happen. It's not going to happen.
No, my question was, okay, whoever had the disagreement on the war on drugs, if you could do it your way, because there's no way we can let drugs be floating out here in the way that it is. If you could have it your way, how would you work that system? How would you do it?
Well, can I tell you what I'd do?
Yes, Jeff, please. Somebody answer the question.
First of all, this is what I would do. I would get a hold of education in my community first. That's what I would do. I'd get control of that because that is the reason why most of our people that are a certain age, because I'm telling you, once they're 14, it's done.
Yeah.
It's over.
You talking about once they're 7, it's done.
No, not necessarily. You can get them. You can get them if you do something. And that's the second part of my education because this is what I'm going
to
do.
But you have
to
go before 14, age 14.
Well, there's no doubt about it, but I'm saying you get control of your education system locally like it was supposed to be in the first doggone place. And this is what you do. You then
push. I would
say
the age of 14 is too old.
That's what we just said. We just said that Philly. But here's the thing. I just saw just today where the union is going to create a test that all would-be teachers have to pass before they go into the classroom. I am vehemently against such a test because I don't care if when you get to that classroom, you might not be able to pass a 50 or 100 question test. I care about what's going to happen 2 years to your students after you've been in that position, whether they're progressing or whether they're not. The union cannot run education, and they should be put out of there some kind of way, or their activities have to be limited.
Definitely
they are, they are
right.
Destroying our kids. That is a foolish notion to have them pass some kind of test after they did 4 years, 7 years of school to become a teacher.
Okay, I understand that, Jeff, but I just want a simple solution answer. To
you don't
the
have
question.
A simple solution.
No,
it's too there ain't
I
no simple solution. It's too complex.
I could give you one. I could give you the Ron Paul answer.
If you are against something, you should at least have an idea of how you would like things to change. How you
like I just said, I'd get control of education and I'd shut it down.
Okay.
Alex, go ahead, answer.
Yeah, I give you the conservative libertarian answer. It's very simple, because the free market and freedom is always more stringent than any legislation or laws that you can think up. True. You see, because it's the same way. It's like this is when you remove the regulations and you don't, and the government doesn't guarantee anything. You know, just like with the prison industrial complex, the government is guaranteeing that they're going to pay for those beds for those incarcerated people, and that's what's creating that bubble. Just like it creates this, you know, every other bubble. And so, here's what you do: you give people the freedom to carry guns, and so that if criminals want to walk around. And they think that they can just, you know, people are going to think twice about just walking up on somebody. That's number
but
one.
But it's not just the criminals who are killing people. So what do you do about
that? I mean, it's the criminal element that is causing the fear to make somebody misuse their gun. Understand that. Yeah,
okay,
yes,
so you guys are always crying about when Trayvon got killed. You guys are saying, well, we got black on black crime. No,
you didn't hear that from me, sweetie. I just got finished dealing with that, too.
I told you that was
Zimmerman's fault, and period.
Okay, and I heard that several times, that no one cares about the black on black crime.
They
don't hear about the outrage. Here's the thing, because you have mostly criminals killing criminals. But when you have a supposedly upstanding citizen who makes a bad judgment and kills an innocent person, that's going to cause a lot of ruckus, because all we hear is it's just the criminals with the guns.
Well, that's not all you hear. It's
not
true. Well, that's not true. And mistakes can be made. That's part of society. It's part of life. Okay? It's not good, but it's part of life. Go ahead, Alex.
That's two different things that I think Steve is mixing up. Like, I thought the question was about how to stop the violence from the drugs.
Right.
So I gave him my reason for that. If you repeal the drug laws, for one, because most of the violence is prohibition related. It's not, you know, if you legalize the drugs and you let everybody open carry. Then I guarantee, you know, you're gonna the crime rate is gonna be virtually zero. That's how you solve it overnight.
Go ahead, Kavina man, say it again.
Oh, I was gonna say the crime rate may go down because it's not illegal, but the murder rate would go down.
It would be the wild west
all over again.
No, that doesn't happen. Hey,
every
municipality in the United States that has instituted the right to carry firearms, crime goes down by 50% to 60%. It will not be the Wild West because ain't nobody going to want to die.
But that's not what he said, though.
Because of
guns. Diva, you just can't talk, baby. You got to wait your turn.
But that's not what he said. He said you legalize drugs and you have to. I'm saying if you had people out here with a drug legalized and you had the carry, because I'm all for the carry. I'm for give me an assault rifle, an automatic machine gun. I'll take an RPG. Give me smoke grenades. I don't care what. Give it all to me.
I want all that. So you don't want your rights for other people.
He's not finished, though.
No, I'm saying, if you have people running around here with the drugs, and people is on drugs, all kind of drugs, science can come up with all kind of things. So I want to be people who have guns out here, the same guns I want, who are on some hallucinogenic and think I'm a zombie walking around. Hell no.
Well, I mean, here's the thing: everybody's not going to carry a gun just because you legalize it. Number two,
yeah, they would.
No, they wouldn't because it's legal in Ohio right now, and you have very few people taking the course to be concealed carriers in Ohio. So now I don't know how it is every place else, but people don't just gravitate toward destructive items. In fact, they're very afraid of them. And the thing is that's neither here nor there. I agree with Alex to a certain degree, but I'm going to tell you this. The thing that destroyed us from being able to control our kids and stop them from wanting to sell drugs is not only that they don't have opportunities once they reach a 16, 17 to go out and make money or go to school and better themselves. Number two, you've allowed white liberalism to make your society standard in America. And when you allowed that, you had no more real standard of living in America. You don't have any right and wrong because their view is not one of there's any rules.
Hey,
everything
Jeff,
is relative, and it's craziness. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, you know, you like to make white liberals and white conservatives like stepbrothers, but they're really real brothers. They're real brothers and real brothers and sisters. Yeah. So
when the conservatives controlled things, we did not have the problems we had. And that's all I can tell you. You still had racism, but you did not have the problems that you had. When did the drugs start pouring into our neighborhoods?
Hey, Jeff, let me say this, man, and I've said
heavily
before.
Heavily in the 1980s.
No, it was not. It was just before the 80s.
In the 70s.
I know, but it was really.
90 seconds. We got
problem.
To get up out of here, y'all. Why y'all call so late? Man, I'm going to find y'all, and I'm going to put y'all over my knee, calling here late in the show. Diva, we hope you get better. Everybody, it's now time to get out of here. 60 seconds to go. I don't know whether I'll be back tomorrow, but if I'm not, Tracy will be here in the air chair. She's under the weather, so keep her in prayer as well. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We'll see you back on the other side of things, and God bless you.
Introducing Mr. Perfume and More, the area's most recent discount outlet for perfumes and colognes, and the most beautiful handbags and accessories. Mr. Perfume is located in the Mill Creek Plaza at 7101 Lockwood Boulevard, right next to the Blue Wolf Banquet Center. Come in and let Mr. Perfume find the fragrance that will fit you or your significant other to a tee. Mr. Perfume is the area's foremost.
Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.